I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
It's working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, welcome to a Wednesday podcast. As the guys have left, Al is off, so I have the Eddie Scazzeri. What's up, Edward? How are you?
Hello, podcast people and YouTube person.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's a person anymore at this point, but hey, if you are out there, we appreciate it. You never know. So there are a few things that I thought we would get to today. One, I was thinking about Friday's show, DJs, coming up in a couple of days, which is always a good time. The weather's going to be interesting, but so be it. It'll be a little chilly. All the years of being here, and when you think of all the shows that we've had numerous different types of live shows. We've had the ones that we have now done on stage and in theaters. Mm-hmm. We've had just regular shows that were on the air, but in a bar type setting. And we've had things like what we're going to do Friday at DJs, mm-hmm. where we're up on a stage, essentially like a rising stage. And you've got more people than it really blows me away how many people do show up. Bar A back in the day. If you think about all the different events, which ones do you think are the successful ones or most successful? And which ones do you think are, how do I say this? Not as good for the audience, but better for the audience that's there, meaning the listening audience on radio.
Well, that would be the Friday show, 100%.
It's good for everybody, right?
No.
Oh,
no,
you don't think so?
No, that is very good for the people there. I think it's okay for the people listening, and it could be good, but I think it tends toward not being as good as our studio shows.
Well, it sounds different.
And also, it can't be. We're out of our element. We're trying to play to the crowd a little bit,
yeah.
And not necessarily to the listening audience. And hopefully there is some sort of happy medium that we can reach where you're servicing both. But I think it's a lot harder at those kind of shows.
What were some of your favorite ones? And this could go back to like when Mike and Chris were at Bar A to now, to even back in the day when Imus used to travel and do those live shows in different cities. Mm-hmm. You were never a part of any of those.
I was not, but I was a listener for them.
And, sure was
I. And I remember the Hagerstown, Maryland crowd was always very good for whatever reason. They were really into it. Some of the others, not as much, but that Hagerstown, Maryland, for whatever reason, it really just resonated with people, and they seemed to really like it.
And that was Imus.
That was
Imus
on MSNBC.
Right.
And I would say that the Bar A shows, when Southside was still a part of it, before he started doing, like, you know, tours in Europe, mm-hmm. and was unavailable and didn't do, you know, I think he did the last couple, or at least the last one.
Okay.
But I would say those Bar A shows were, with Southside, were fantastic. When Dog was there.
Yeah, for sure.
It was the both of them.
Yeah, they were fun.
And with our shows, though, it's been that same sort of energy. Now, different because of the time of day.
Oh, for sure.
So not everyone is drinking. At Bar A, seems like everyone was
the party.
Yeah, it was. They were hammered.
Bar A is the first time I remember, for the most part. So you're going back to, I was living in Brick. I only went once. So this had to have been like probably 2002 or so, 2003, mm-hmm. maybe right around that time. Because I remember I was working in the overnight with Joe. I went home, I slept, I got up and I went down to Bar A for the Mike and Chris show, and Mike and the Mad Dog. And it was really the first time, I'd been here since 97, but just radio, really. And then all of a sudden you start filling in, and I was doing a afternoon show here and there. So I'd be on the Yes Network like very sparingly, but it did happen. Mm-hmm. That was the first time that people started coming up to me and saying hello as if they knew me, mm-hmm. which was a very cool yet very odd experience. I remember, yes. getting in my car going home, like, I don't know who any of those people were, but they really seemed like they knew me.
Yeah.
It was unusual.
Yeah, and when I started working for Mike and Dog for, I think I worked on that show 3 years.
You only did three years on that show?
Yeah, I think it was
really
04 to 07.
Wow, okay.
Because I was on the midday before that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot Russ and Steve
for
and Susan.
That was my second longest tenure. I think I was there 11 years.
Right.
On that shift. And I produced at least one, maybe two of the Bar A shows. So people recognized me because of the Yes aspect. But then the first Bar A show that I took Al to, which I think was the first year that he and Gina were together, people recognized us because of our show on MSG.
Yeah.
So that was, you know.
A different.
Yeah. I used to get recognized just when my name would come up for whatever reason, but just to visually be recognized, that was different there.
Do you like the, because I was thinking of this too. I don't like the bar show, and we don't really do them all that often anymore. I don't love the bar shows. These are tough too, but this is more of a party atmosphere, and they really are done very well, I must say.
For sure.
And I'm not going to lie. I've said this to Al on the podcast, so you've probably heard it. I'm so jealous of the fact that you get to be a part of it, but you're not working.
Yes, that's
God,
right.
Well, it seems like it'd be so much fun.
Well, but, you know, I am sort of working.
But you're not.
I'm not technically working, but last...
You're helping, but that's...
I'm helping.
Right. There's still... It's different than what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what you normally do.
Right. But I'm a part of the show and I figured I should be there. However, I really can't do what I do there, especially that kind of show.
Right.
It's impossible.
Well, that's the thing. Even like trying to come up with a couple of different things that I'd like to do Friday. To me, like one of the cool things are all the clips that we have and you can have fun with them. But I tried it last year. And the problem is, while we could hear it great in the headset, you could tell the audience it's not coming out properly on the speaker.
It does not translate.
It doesn't.
Like at the Super Bowl, it's different.
Yes.
It's quiet. It's more, it's not studio, but it's studio-ish.
For sure.
And it's quieter and everything can translate and you hear it. So there was really no, if I wanted to go, there's really no point to me working because Apri is there and Martin is there doing the engineering stuff and turning the mics on. So I really can't. I had no purpose there, but I should be there, I thought.
Right.
But I do take a vacation day, and I always have because I don't want to hear it, especially when I was doing the scheduling. I always would charge myself a vacation day, and I put in for a vacation day for this as well because I just don't want to hear anybody say anything.
I don't blame you. So you leave here tomorrow. You're on vacation. You're heading down. You're on a long weekend.
Goes
off Monday.
Goes off Monday, right? Yeah, exactly.
I blew it. I should have worked Monday. I should have done the show from home Monday morning.
Yes,
because I am going to be short on days this year. But
yeah,
so be it.
Yeah, because that other trip coming up in August.
Wasn't even factoring that in.
No. Yeah.
That's another issue altogether. Mm-hmm. I have major issues, I would say, coming up this fall and winter. But we'll deal with that at another time. Matter of fact, Michael, walk down and talk to David right after this. To try and figure something out. The other thing, you're a homeowner.
Yes.
You've lived in the same, I know your house has been reconstructed, but you've been in the same site for how long?
Since I've been married, 91.
So, wow, 91. Never had another interest to go. See, here's what I'm struggling with. And I knew it was a long time. I didn't know it was 91. That's even longer than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I am struggling with I like the house that we bought 10 years ago. I really do. Love the house. I'm sorry, 8 years ago. The backyard's bigger than anything I've ever had. It's fantastic for, now I would say my boys, but my older son's 20 now. It's
right.
More better for him with the parties now with his friends.
Yeah.
My younger son can hit a sponge golf ball. I mean, I think it's big enough. It works great. Love the house. I am so sick and tired, though, of driving down the same roads, seeing the same landmarks, the same people, the same traffic lights, the same stores. And that never phases you?
Like
to go see somewhere else, live somewhere else?
No. Well, I go on vacation as
well, so
you.
Well, so do I, but...
It doesn't... I don't know why, but it doesn't bother me. And I've only lived in... Aside from living out at college in the dorm.
Sure.
But I've lived in two places. I lived in the house I was born in and grew up in. And now...
So your parents stayed in their house their whole time,
yeah,
basically.
And my, that house is now my sister's house.
Wow, no kidding.
My younger sister.
That's amazing. Like, so, I guess we are products of what we know. You've been in your house now for 34 years, mm-hmm. long time. Your sister, I guess, grew up in that house
yes.
now. And so for me, my parents, like every 10 years, moved, mm-hmm. essentially. It
right.
was, they moved to Jersey when I was, I think, 2 or 3.
From Brooklyn?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Only stayed in that house for 3 years, then moved. Then we were in the one house for 10. Then they moved. They were in that house for 10. Then they moved. They were in that house for 10. Then they moved to this house, or however it goes, which that probably spans the 40-something years that I'm talking about. And Kim and I have been... First place we lived in was a townhouse for 3 years, another place for 3 years, then the last house for 10, and now this one's 8. And I'm getting, I've had enough. And it's not that I want a different house. I need a different area.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, you need to change the series. I don't feel that.
Yeah.
Now, when I retire, our plan, and who knows if it's going to happen, because, you know, Marion says she wants to move, and yes, blah, blah, blah. But then it's going to be our sisters. It's too far away. So I can see all that kind of stuff on the table potentially.
Sure.
And where we might just stay in that house, which would be fine. I really would like to move one more time, go north, you know, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire.
What about buying a small cottage or something as like a getaway
like
place?
Like a second home?
Yeah.
I don't know about a second home. I guess we could maybe swing it, but I don't know. I don't know about that. But and I've never really thought of myself as having a vacation home. And I guess now with Vrbo, you can turn into a you know, if it's a nice place
yeah.
and you get in with the, you know, however Vrbo works with the setting it up and the cleaning services and
yep.
all that stuff.
I wasn't even saying it as a vacation home. I meant somewhere where you could live 6 months, the best time to be there, mm-hmm. and then 6 months back here to where you are still close to family
yeah.
part of the year.
Yeah.
I meant more that, like a dual type of residency.
Yeah, no, I have not really considered that. I would think when we move, we'll just have the one place and then buy or rent an RV and drive around with the
dogs
that's
fun.
And all that stuff. But yeah, no, I don't get tired of the house or the area. I don't even like, I don't know. It doesn't weigh on me, but I can understand because I've known many people like yourself who, you know, move, get the itch
yes.
and have to move every so often.
And I do think part of what I'm saying too is the fact that the town I'm in is the town I grew up in. So it's, you know, grew up there, got married, we did live in a couple of other towns before I got married, but
pretty far south, right?
We were in Brick.
Yeah.
When we got married and we moved out of the townhouse, we moved down to Brick, which I would have stayed down there. It's just the drive was too far. It's amazing to me that it hasn't bothered Al yet.
Yeah.
You know, and I know he likes his podcasts. I think it's great that it doesn't bother him. But for me, after 2 years, I was like, oof, this ride's getting rough.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Maybe if I found the sunflower seeds back then, because that was my biggest thing. I couldn't stay awake getting home anymore. It just became too much. It's interesting though that he's had no problem doing that for all these years now.
Yeah, and but even before the podcast, he would listen. He would decide every morning, like to listen to a certain
yeah.
artist, and sort of dive deep into that. But now he's got the podcast, and the time that we come in, there's the danger because it's dark and
for sure.
deer and all that stuff. But 99% of the time, there's no issues
Correct.
Coming in.
And it is 99% of the
yeah,
time.
For sure.
It is usually very easy. And then the last thing I told you during the warm-up show before, write down electrician, right?
Yes.
So I am not a handy person by any stretch. Yes, I can change oil. I can change a flat tire. In the past, I have changed ceiling fans. No problem. Very basic things. I don't screw around with electricity because I don't want to burn the house down. But basic jobs, I will at least try. And now with YouTube, like, why wouldn't you try and do something? So, you know, we've got these outside lights, the wall lights, outside your door and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And one went out about 2 months ago, and I noticed the other, I got to replace it. So I go to replace the light, and the whole thing's broken. I'm like, you know what? Let me just replace it. So just to make sure I know what I'm doing, go on YouTube, make sure that everything is the way I think, and yay, the thing's in the box, you pull it out, you undo the cap. Easy. It's like doing the ceiling fans. I can do this. So I go yesterday and I buy the replacement light, nice new light. And I start taking off the light that's on the wall. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as the light comes off, I can see already there's a problem because the junction box, as they say, the people that put this in have some sort of contraption where they have like a piece of wood over the box and they cut like a small circular hole. It really looks like what they did was they did all the wiring, put it in the box, then put this cap on somehow. I don't even know, like jammed it in and then screwed that in.
And got the wires out of that.
So that's what I had to get the wires out
now,
of.
Was that a siding issue?
It's inside this. I don't even understand. I don't know. All I know is I had trouble getting those caps out. Then I'm looking at trying to get them back in. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting there I got so frustrated. I clipped the wires, capped it, and I got to call an electrician.
Yeah.
Like, that's an easy job. I have to call an electrician for this?
Yeah. Well,
God.
I might try some small electrical thing, but with you, like plumbing and electric, no good.
You want a flood in your house? I'll pass.
No.
I don't want a fire.
Right. Floods, fires, or electric shock, no thanks.
What's the biggest job you would tackle?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I did put in, this was a long time ago, I put in baseboard molding.
Okay.
And I sanded and stained a wood floor.
That's pretty good.
In a small room. Now, it took me probably three times as long as it would take a contractor.
Of course.
But I did feel a sense of accomplishment. And I'll tackle like, yard and garden projects.
Right.
You know, that, you know, creating a bed or whatever, like, because you don't really, if you're off by an inch, it doesn't really matter.
Correct.
So there's nothing that is going to fall down or be, you know, misaligned. It's fine. It's the yard.
I get very jealous of people, or envious, whatever word you want to use, of guys that can just do everything.
Yes.
And I think it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish I could do half of what they could do.
Oh, yeah. Maybe even a quarter I would be happy with. Like Brian Riscona filling in today, worked carpentry for like 7 years.
Oh, did he really?
And can do, you know, bathrooms and kitchen. Now, I don't know how deep into the electrical he is or deep into the plumbing or anything like that, but he can put an addition on.
It's amazing.
He can do a bathroom. You know, at least all the tile work and all that stuff. And probably the plumbing as well. And that not only is it very cool and satisfying, and you can do what you want, how you want.
Saves you a fortune.
A big time.
It does. I mean, there are jobs that I know I could probably do, but if I screw it up, it's going to cost me more.
Yeah.
Than if I, so like even last year when we had to knock the pool down, I'm like, all right, so the pool's got to come down. I'll demo it. There's no way that I'm going to pay someone to demo the pool. I went out, I bought one of those Sawzalls from the store, and you know, piece by piece, I cut it, I rolled it, wound up getting rid of it. Matter of fact, the Junkin' Irishman came and picked up all the garbage. They were fantastic,
metal,
by the way.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that was what the pool was. But also all the other debris that I had. They took everything, which was so easy. So I did that. So then we were left with, so the pool was off the deck. Now, we had changed the deck from a wood deck, which when we first moved in, to a Trex deck, and which is great. You got the base of the deck. All they got to do is basically refinish it. So it wasn't like you needed permits or anything. I don't think anyway. And now that the pool's gone, I'm left there with a deck that's got no railings on the back. Mm-hmm. Oh, so I'm thinking, how much could it possibly be to finish the deck? And I'm thinking a few thousand. It was like $15,000.
Wow, I would have guessed
to redo everything. Well, I mean, it was more than that. I mean, we had a patio done, but I'm just saying, like, in my head, I'm like, all right, patio, that's not that big. I'm going to finish the deck, some railings, a couple, and build a thing of stairs. How much could it possibly be? It was like 15 grand for all of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if I, and I'm watching them, it's all time. It's all labor. I'm like, why can't I know how to do this? Mm-hmm. I could take the time and do this. If it cost me $2,000 in materials.
Like, and took you 2 months.
No, I actually did it for you. Yes. And I would say, too, you might think I got ripped off, probably, but I did get three quotes. Mm-hmm. All three quotes were within $600 of one another.
Yeah.
I mean, they calculated the time, the labor, you know, running back and forth to the store, all of that. But it's like, man, I know the materials weren't that much, mm-hmm. but it was also three guys and then three guys for this job and everybody's got to get paid. And it's just like, my God, man.
So, and if you find a contractor that you like.
Oh, 100%.
Like the one that Al turned me on to.
Sure, sure.
Shout out Drywall Mike Gage of Savannah Carpentry. You know, and he did our kitchen, which was a huge job, on time, under budget.
And, which is good.
Which was shocking and amazing. And, you know, he did some nice little, cute little things for us in there that was unexpected and
nice.
Very cool.
That's pretty good. Well, we can end it with a nice note there.
Yeah.
With him. So coming up next, warm-up show was a little different. Al was out, so I did the first couple of segments myself. We had the four calls and Rascona in segment three, so that's coming up next. Al will be back, and you've got to see
us
out of here.
Four calls was actually five today.
It was five.
All right. See you.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.